Welcome back to the Deeper Dive Podcast. I'm Lanier Wood, Associate Pastor at Covenant Presbyterian Church. If you're joining us for the first time or maybe joining us back, we are taking a deeper look into the book of Hebrews as we walk through the book of Hebrews in our small groups. I hope if you're studying this right now, you're probably coming up with a lot of questions. Well, that's what a small group is great for. There's lots of things as we open up Scripture that are difficult to understand, that are difficult to work through in our lives. And we want to do this not just on our own, but together with God's people. I think when you look at the book of Hebrews, we said this, we remind ourselves of this at the very beginning. It's a sermon. And guess where you're supposed to hear sermons? In and with the church. So gather around some people, and let's dig into Hebrews. We're going to look at Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 this week. This is not a lot of verses. This is a very short passage of Scripture, but I think it's worth stopping on before we go deeper into this book, because it's like the warning bell clanging before all the stuff is coming, before the storm is coming. And Hebrews, you can look at it as a storm. That's fine. It's a storm. We just went through a storm here. It's going to shake up our lives. It's going to shake up our view of Jesus. It's going to put him up to other things, and things are going to fall down. And so there's this bell going off, and Hebrews sounds it at the very beginning of its book, saying, listen, you need to pay attention. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This passage that we're looking at is a warning. It's a warning against neglect, against not being ready. There's all kinds of things we neglect in our lives, right? We neglect, I remember when I was a student, maybe I'm still a student and sometimes neglect my schoolwork. We neglect our schoolwork, right? Because it doesn't seem like it matters, at least right now to us. We neglect maybe certain responsibilities over other responsibilities, because there's some things we feel like matter and some things we feel like don't matter as much. We neglect some things because we don't like them. We neglect people because they're not important to us. We neglect things because we lose sight, we forget, or because we marginalize. Well, Hebrews is calling our attention to something that if we neglect it, if we miss it, we'll have the most dire consequences of anything. See, we have a great salvation, a great saving, the great saving that is in the person and work of Christ. So sound the bell. Pay attention to it. I just want us to think just for a minute as we take our look a little bit deeper this week. Why is it that we don't pay attention to Jesus? Well, there's two ways to kind of come about this. First is just to see why Hebrews tells us we should. First thing it tells us right away is that, well, because the message that has been proclaimed in Scripture has been reliable. I mean, this is kind of the major point at this point in Hebrews of why to pay attention, because God has always been reliable, and reliability breeds trust. And so that's why he's appealing to all the different stories in Scripture and to the message that was declared by angels in verse 2, which is just a reference to how the Old Testament thought about how God spoke to his people, that God spoke through his angels, that God has spoken and he's always done what he said he would do. Verse 3, it points to the Lord more specifically. This message is firstly from the Lord, and that all the signs and wonders that God set before his people to show them his salvation. See, God is reliable. And the ultimate proof of his reliability is what Hebrews is drawing us into and most earnestly pleading before us in the person of Jesus. That God has sent his perfect and whole salvation, that in Christ, now we have not just rescue from our enemies without, but rescue from our enemy within. He grants us forgiveness. See, he is the outworking of God's perfect love for us. And when you read the Bible, that's what you find, is that God is enduringly faithful all the way to the point of death, even death on the cross in our place. So why do we distrust God, who's proved to be so reliable? He's done exactly what he said at every point in human history. Well, I think it's more practically this. There's a lot of reasons we can put up before, but I think most basically it's this, and this is what you hear when we really wrestle with God, that the real reason that we do not see or believe God's reliability is because he hasn't been reliable to meet our desires. That we've been more interested in God being about our plan and our agenda, and what we see and find is that he just isn't. See, here's the thing. God is a good and a perfect parent. And like a good and a perfect parent, what he does is he protects his children from danger. And when he does that, he's always showing us two things. First of all, that we're loved. God is always demonstrating his love for his people. And two, that we can't get our own way. That his mission is not our desires. That's what a good parent does. They don't validate their children's desires. What they do is they validate that their child is loved, and then they train up their child so that he or she is not the center of their own world. God is perfectly reliable, and his reliability breeds trust. That's why we buy Toyotas, right? Because Toyotas are reliable, and so we trust, and we buy Toyotas and Hondas. That's what we look for in a car. That's why, I mean, maybe there's some other reasons, but it's why no one needs a Ferrari, because a Ferrari is not just money on the front end. It's a money pit. It'll exhaust you of resources, and eventually it'll be broken and stuck in your garage. What we need and to get where we're going every day, right, is a car that is reliable, that's faithful, that endures. What we need in God is faithfulness, is endurance, is steadfast love, generation after generation. Not a God who meets our desires, but a God who saves to the uttermost. That's who God is for you. He is consistent in his affections, consistent in his pursuits, and faithful in all that he has promised. But because God hasn't met our desires, we distrust him. And we blind ourselves to a faithfulness that is bigger and more enduring and deeper. There's another reason we distrust God. I think it's more basic to our brokenness, is that we distrust God because we're not reliable. We think of God as being made in our image rather than rejoice in the joy in discovering through God what it means to be made in his image. This is where we forget that in verse 3 that we believe him because he is Lord. See, we have to stop thinking that God is like us and that he is different than us, and that he is both wise and strong, that he always knows what he is doing and he can always do it. And when we do that, it changes everything. When we know that God is reliable, it changes how we relate to him. God is reliable. And there's great consequences when we forget that. So there's consequences to neglecting the goodness and the perfection and the love of God. First is this. When we neglect the greatness of God's love and mercy, is we get what our sin deserves. We get punishment. We get what our brokenness deserves. We get the world breaking apart. We get broken systems and broken social realities. We get broken economics. We get unpaid bills. We get hurt to the people around us. The consequences of neglect is that we get the end that our sin deserves. And look how he says it. Be careful that you not neglect such a great salvation. See, the danger of neglect, of forgetfulness, more than anything, is that we neglect hope. That we neglect forgiveness. That if we look past Christ, what we really miss is both the glory of God and His power and His holiness and the glory of God and His mercy and His grace. We miss gospel and the good news for brokenness, people mired in filth and unrighteousness. We miss what it means to be loved so deeply that He would be despised and rejected. We miss our great hope in Jesus. See, I think what Hebrews is setting before us is a warning. It's a sounding of a bell that, hey, what I'm about to write, it's not fancy. It's not just for a moment. It's not a flash in the pan. It's not how you make your bank account bigger. It is actually the warning bell before the tornado, before the hurricane that is before us of life, and that there is only one hope and one salvation that's in Jesus Christ. See, Hebrews' point is this: how can we escape? We can't. Because there is not salvation in any other than in Jesus Christ. I hope as you sit in your groups this week, there'll be some time to think about the ways that we neglect our salvation and what it looks like to pay attention to Jesus, for Him to be our rich hope and life in the midst of the storms that, guess what, God's sovereign over, that God will bring to an end either in His just and righteous judgment or in His perfect mercy and grace in Christ.